On the Pastor's Study, we've been doing a series entitled The Strategy of Satan, How to Detect and Defeat Him. We'll continue in just a moment in our study, but before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to open up thy very words. We pray that you'd bless your word today, bless our lesson, bless each listener today, Father. We pray if there be a lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and that alone to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and give them time and eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. We pray this would be the very day that they'd call from a heart of faith on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And trust him and him alone as their personal Savior. Father, we pray now that you'd have your will and your way in our lesson today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen. We've been doing a series entitled The Strategy of Satan, How to Detect and Defeat Him. And now, as we continue, what I want to do is, in the lessons that follow what we've been discussing, amen, I will share other truths about Satan that relate to the very various areas of life, the home, the church, living by faith. And these lessons are based on the material that we've already studied. And the purpose behind these lessons is to relate these truths in a practical way to the everyday life and ministry as believers. Now, I want to discuss today living by faith in God. Living by faith in God. Everybody in this world lives by faith. You see, the difference between the Christian and the unconverted person is not the fact of faith, but the object of faith. You see, the unsaved person trusts himself and other humans. The Christian trusts God. It is your faith in God that is the secret of victory in ministry. If you have any doubts that God honors faith in himself, read the chapter 11 of Hebrews, the chapter that we call the heroes of the faith, amen? In fact, one of the greatest problems God has with his children is the developing of their faith. Satan knows this, and therefore attacks the believer's faith. Paul the Apostle, his words to the young Christians in Thessalonica illustrate this point. Listen to what Paul had to say to them. In 1 Thessalonians, with me, in chapter number 3, first we'll look at verses 1 and 2. The words of God say this: Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now let's drop down to verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction, in distress by your faith. And then drop down to verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Christian is supposed to go from faith to faith. And when you read the life of Abraham in Genesis chapters 12 through 25, you see that all that God did, he did in order to perfect Abraham's faith. It is a spiritual principle, my friend. Look in the Gospel of Matthew with me. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, Matthew chapter 9, in verse 29, the words of God say this: Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Whenever God works in and through your life, my friend, it is always in response to faith. You see, the thing that hinders the working of God is not his lack of power, but his people's lack of faith. Notice with me, again in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Look with me at verse number 58. We read this in God's words, referring to Jesus, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And then in Mark, the Gospel of Mark with me, if you would, chapter 6 and verse 6, we read this. And he, referring to Jesus, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, this raises the important question. How can the believer know that he is living by faith? It is so easy for us to be fooled by our own feelings. But it seemed right to do it. We often tell ourselves, amen, or be fooled by our circumstances around us or by Satan and his demonic powers. Are there any tests that the Christian can apply to his decisions and actions to determine whether or not he is walking by faith? And the answer to that question is yes. There are four practical tests. Test number one, ask yourself, am I doing this for the glory of God or just to please myself? Notice with me in the book of Romans, if you would, chapter number 4, verse number 20. We read this. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 20, he, referring to Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Here it is now, listen. Giving glory to God. Amen. Now, Abraham and Sarah were both well past the age of having children. And yet God promised them a son. I think it was F.B. Meyer who used to say, you never really trust God until you trust him to do the impossible. You see, Abraham's begetting and Sarah's bearing a son would certainly be impossible apart from God. Amen? Look with me in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The Word of God says this: "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I think sometimes we forget this, or we believe that God has limits. But we just read, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." In Matthew chapter 19, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, if you would, and then in verse 26, we read this: "But Jesus beheld him and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." It was not Abraham's faith in faith that wrought the miracle. It was his faith in God. The world's shallow philosophy is, have faith, everything will work out, is as foolish as it is ineffective. Amen? Faith is what? Certainly not faith in faith. Amen? Abraham and Sarah trusted God, and God performed what he had promised because he knew God. Amen? We're told in Romans chapter 4, amen, in Romans chapter 4, in verse number 21, look at what it says here: "And being fully persuaded that what he," that's God, "had promised, he was able also to perform." See? Abraham believed the promises of God, that what God had promised him, that he would perform it. Amen? But it is important to notice Abraham's motive in all of this. He gave glory to God. You see, faith always gives glory to God, for faith confesses that man is unable to accomplish anything and that only God can do it. Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead physically when they trusted God to work. And that is what brought glory to God. Amen? So whenever you are about to make a decision or take a step in your Christian walk or ministry, ask yourself, am I doing this for God's glory alone? If there is any indication in your heart that self-glory is involved, stop immediately and wait on the Lord for his direction. You see, true faith, my friend, is motivated only by the desire to glorify God. Amen. Let's look at test number two. Test number two. You ask yourself this question: am I rushing ahead impetuously, or am I willing to wait? We have already learned that faith and patience always goes together. Amen? Look with me, if you would, in the book of Romans, in chapter number 10 with me, and in verse 11. The words of God say this: "For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. And then let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah with me. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, in verse number 16, we read this. Amen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Amen. Haste. Amen. Will not be in a hurry. Amen. That's what haste means. The Christian who waits for God's leading and waits on God's working will not be disappointed or ashamed. You see, true faith is not in a hurry until God opens the way. And if you find yourself impatiently rushing ahead of the Lord, beware. You are sure to act in fleshly unbelief instead of in true spiritual faith. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the words of God say, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's look at test number three. Test number three. Ask yourself, can I defend what I am doing from the Word of God? Can I defend what I'm doing from the Word of God? You see, true faith is always grounded in the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 7, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Is that not so? Romans chapter 10? Romans chapter 10. Let's turn there in verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? So no matter how reasonable an action may seem, if it contradicts the Word of God, you cannot do it by faith. The Bible gives us precepts to obey, promises to claim, in principles to follow. But if we violate any of these, we are acting in unbelief and not in faith. Our friends may encourage us, and circumstances may seem to favor us. Remember Jonah? Jonah found a ship waiting for him. But if we are disobeying the Word of God, we are not acting in faith. And this means that God cannot bless us or use us to bring glory to His name. Amen and amen. Is that not true? Now, test number four. Ask yourself, as I contemplate this move, do I have joy and peace within? Notice in Romans chapter 15 with me, what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. The words of Almighty God say this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, where there is true faith, the Holy Spirit is at work. And where the Spirit is at work, He will produce the fruit of hope, joy, and peace. Having the peace of God, amen, in your heart is one piece of evidence that you are in the will of God. The peace of Christ is supposed to rule in your hearts, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And that word rule literally means to have the ultimate authority. And when you lose God's peace within you, amen, when you lose God's peace within, then you know you have somewhere detoured from the will of God. It is in this area that the Christian must learn to distinguish between his own human emotions, amen, and the deeper work of God in his life. You see, God never denies our emotions. He certainly can use them to accomplish his purposes. But often as we step out by faith, we experience human fears and anxieties. But if we are walking by faith, these fears will eventually be overcome by a deeper joy and peace. Now this is the work of the Spirit of God in response to our faith in God's Word. Amen. An Old Testament illustration in Genesis 16, amen, the story is a familiar one. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child, but the child did not come. And as she waited, Sarah became impatient, so she decided to help God by having her husband go into her handmaid Hagar. This decision was perfectly legal, but it was not a step of faith, amen. Abraham fell in with the scheme, and the result was trouble. Now let us apply our four tests of faith to the actions of Abraham and Sarah. First of all, did Abraham going into Hagar that he might glorify God? The answer is no. He went into her to please his wife and to try to help God fulfill his promises. Were Abraham and Sarah willing to wait? Of course not. That was the whole problem. They ran ahead of God and made a mess out of their home. Could they base their decision on the revealed word of God? No, they could not. As you read the life of Abraham, you discover that God blessed and used him whenever he trusted God's word. But God had to chasten him every time he ran ahead of God's word. We do not read, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, take your wife's handmaid as wife, and I will give you a son by her. Their actions were not based on the word of God. Finally, amen, was there joy and peace because of their decision? No. There was misery and war. Hagar fought with Sarah, and Sarah blamed Abraham, and Abraham reasoned with Sarah until God had to step in and straighten things out, amen. The Jewish nation is still suffering from Abraham's mistakes, amen. Because that's who these Arab nations come from Ishmael, the son that Abraham had with Hagar. Remember, the Lord said that he would be a wild man, and he certainly was. Here, then, is a practical home situation that illustrates the importance of walking by faith. Now, let me give you a New Testament illustration. In Acts 27, again, we have a familiar story. The Roman government had arrested Paul and was taking him to Rome for trial. He and 275 other people were on the ship, which finally arrived at the port of Fair Havens. At this point, Paul, led by the Spirit of God, warned them not to leave the port because they would be sailing into danger and destruction. The centurion in charge, named Julius, had to make a decision. Do we remain in Fair Haven, or do we set sail? After considering all the factors, Julius decided to set sail, and the result was just as Paul predicted. The ship was wrecked, and it was only by the grace of God that the passengers' lives were saved. Now let's apply the four tests of faith to the decision Julius made. Did he seek to glorify God? Absolutely not. Amen. In fact, it is likely that he was not even a believer or concerned about God's glory. As you read the chapter, you get the impression, amen, that Julius was interested in finishing his task and getting his prisoners safely to Rome as quickly as possible. We read, asked the question, was he willing to wait? No, he was not. He was concerned, amen, because already much time was spent and he would be late arriving at Rome. Then we ask, did he base his decision on God's word? No. He rejected the word that was given through Paul. Instead, he depended on the words of others. Let's go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, in verses 11 and 12. And we see it says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they may attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Amen. So, Julius listened to the expert, the owner of the ship or master, and he took a vote and followed the majority. Then we read that the south wind blew softly in Acts 27:13, and circumstances were just right for sailing. They sailed, but they soon found themselves in a storm, and Paul's prediction came true. Was it joy and peace because Julius acted as he did? No. There was a violent wind that lasted for 2 weeks, wrecked the ship, and totally destroyed the cargo. The south wind became a stormy wind, and God's word proved true. Satan and the four tests of faith. You've probably noticed that the four tests of faith parallel the experiences of the four persons who confronted with Satan we have already studied. David did not act in faith when he numbered the people, because he did it for his own glory and not for God's glory. You see, pride is an enemy of faith. Job was tempted to become impatient with God. A willingness to wait on the Lord is evidence of true faith. Impatience means unbelief. Eve disobeyed the word of God when she ate of the tree. True faith is always based on the word of God. Joshua had no joy and peace in his heart, because he was suffering under Satan's accusations. True faith brings joy and peace through the Holy Spirit. This means that you and I must be careful to use the defenses God has given to us. Otherwise, Satan will weaken and discourage our faith and tempt us to stop trusting God. If we seek the glory of God, if we patiently wait on God, if we follow the Word of God, and if we enjoy God's joy and peace within, Then, and only then, we can be sure we are living by faith in defeating Satan. Thank you for listening today. May God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.